Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
The thing about the Holy Spirit is he's one of the most misunderstood members of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is also for you and me the most vital aspect of our Christian walk. I want to open up with what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, and then I'm going to read verse 26. I'm going to read it from the Amplified because it amplifies. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, give us wisdom, give us understanding, open the eyes of our heart that we might know you more and more. Help us, Holy Spirit, to get a better understanding of who you are, your desire to walk with us, to help us, to have relationship with us. We thank you that you are always with us and we never walk alone. So as we get into the word today, speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help it like become rhema. As Pastor preached last week, breathe, mighty breath of God, breathe on the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. So in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17, Jesus said this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever." The reason why the Amplified lists so many different descriptive terms is because that word helper in the original language is parakletos. And it doesn't translate in English very well because it's a multi-layered, multi-definition word. And so the Bible will use helper. Maybe a translation you read will have advocate, or another will have counselor. But I like the Amplified because it just fills in all the gaps. So I want you to look at it and read it with me. He says, "I will give you another helper." Read the words: comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. I need that. And the Holy Spirit is here to be all of these things and so much more. To be with you, how long? Forever. Here's another word. He's called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually. He remains with you continually and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit is with you. He's alongside you and he is in you. But the helper, come on, read it again. The helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Look at this. This is Jesus. The Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf. Wow. Jesus told Philip, he said, "Show us the Father." And he says, "Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Well, guess what? If you know the Holy Spirit, you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you know the Father. He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. The Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one of those concepts that's really hard to grab. It's really hard to wrap our mind around. And to be honest, there's really not a good metaphor to explain it. They say, "Well, I'm a daughter, and I'm a wife, and I'm this." That's not the same thing because they are three distinct people. Co-equal people, but they have distinct characteristics and roles. They are equal and yet unique and separate. There's not one, there's three in one. This is really important because some teaching out there will say that there's only one God who shows up in three different ways. But the scripture tells us very clearly that there is three gods in one: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are perfectly united. In other words, they always agree with each other. They operate as one. I like how Dr. Tony says they're networked together in sync at all times. So if you pray to the Father, the Holy Spirit hears you, and so does Jesus. If you pray to Jesus, the Holy Spirit hears you, and so does the Father. And if you pray to the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son are in agreement. So you don't have to wonder, well, who do I pray to? Come on, I've wondered that before. Wait, should I direct this to the Father? Should I say this to Jesus? Holy Spirit, what do I do? Ah! But they're perfectly synced. You could just pray, Jehovah, Yahweh. See, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not some ethereal, weird thing that's out there. The Holy Spirit is not just some power, but the Holy Spirit is a person to know and to relate to. Now, Jesus used a certain word. He said, I will send another helper. Another means the same kind. Because there's a different Greek word that means a different kind. But he says, I will send you the same. In other words, as we read, the Holy Spirit represents Jesus. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus to us and bring us to the Father. And then I said this before, but I want to go a little deeper. That term helper in the original Greek is paraklete or parakletos. It's a Greek word that means this: called alongside. Again, I just want to read the Amplified: comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. So good. And the Holy Spirit's job is to be with you and in you all of the time. Tell your neighbor, all the time. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's with you in the bathroom. Ah, oh, thank you, friend. I appreciate it. Holy Spirit is in the car. Holy Spirit's in your bedroom. Holy Spirit's with you at work. Holy Spirit's when you're driving on the freeway. Thank you. You're never alone. And as Kyle said during worship, you might feel alone. I think we all have times like that. I was feeling that this week. You know when you don't feel good? But you're never alone because he's always with us. Not only with us, but within us. And again, I really enjoy how Dr. Tony Evans says he's with you to help you with the external challenges you go through. But he's also in you to help you with your internal world. How many of you know we need help with both? The things we face in this world that we have no control over, and the inside world that can get a little crazy, a little chaotic, a little down, a little depressed. The Holy Spirit is there to help us in every situation at all times. See, the role of the Holy Spirit is he's the Spirit of truth. He represents Jesus. He acts on behalf of Jesus, and he teaches us all things. Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit, he can be with you and me at the same time. The Holy Spirit is everywhere, all the time, with everyone. That means he can be talking to me at the same time he's talking to Priscilla, the same time he's talking to Peter, the same time he's talking to Sylvia, the same time he's talking to Myrna. Isn't that amazing? That's why Jesus said, it's better that I go away, because if I stay, I've limited myself to my geographical body, like where my body is at a given time. But the Holy Spirit is not limited. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to lead you into truth, to teach you everything, and to remind you. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where maybe all of a sudden you're in a situation and a memory verse just comes, like a scripture just comes in, and you're like, oh, I needed that. That's not because you're smart. That was the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you can ask the Holy Spirit for help with your problems at work? My dad was an IBM programmer, and he worked his way up from nothing. And so he didn't even have a degree for the job he was doing at the time. And he would tell us that he would come home sometimes really frustrated because he couldn't work out the programming, this equation, this algorithm. And he would pray about it. And he'd say, God, I need you to show me the answer. And when he would wake up in the morning, he would have the algorithm and he would write it out. He would go to work. He would plug it in and it would fix the problem. See, I tell you that story because it impacts me in a very personal way. God cares about even your work. Sometimes I think we limit God to just the spiritual stuff. But he cares about everything you and I go through. He wants you and I to do well at our work. He wants you and I to succeed in our relationships. He wants you and I to enjoy the life that Jesus died to give us. So the Holy Spirit wants to help you. Are you willing to receive his help? See, the Holy Spirit desires to be your constant friend and companion. He's already there. He just longs for you to have a friendship with him. I could spend a lot of time outlining for you the role of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit throughout the Gospels, the Bible, Old Testament, Gospels, New Testament, but I'm going to just pick a couple of verses. Because all throughout Scripture, Pastor outlined, if you weren't here last week, make sure you listen to Pastor's preaching on In the Beginning, the Holy Spirit, because it's powerful. It was really good. I still have that CPAP imagery of breathing in the Bible, the Word, the Ruach of God. But the Old Testament, I'm going to pull out some scriptures in the book of Acts. Acts 4:25. Here's what Peter said when he addressed the council. He said, this is what he said, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David. So even Peter said it was by the Holy Spirit that David prophesied these things. So we see that the Holy Spirit was at work in the Old Testament. He came on Saul and Saul began to prophesy. The thing is in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come in for a moment and then leave. When Samson wanted strength at the last minute to finally pull down the temple, guess who came upon him to give him power? Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was active. The Holy Spirit would come and he spoke through the prophets. He came in natural displays of signs and wonders and supernatural strength, but then he would leave. Now, in the Gospels, which is Christ-focused, so Dr. Tony Evan makes this point that the Old Testament, God the Father is front and center. And then in the Gospels, Jesus Christ is front and center. And yet, look what it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, read it, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, I need to just pose this question to some of you who aren't so sure what you think of the Holy Spirit this morning. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I? Because this scripture clearly points out that the only reason why Jesus was able to do good and heal was because the Holy Spirit was upon him. And if Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God called him to do, how much more do you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit just to do good and to do the things that we're called to do? So even though Jesus was the headliner of the Gospels, the Holy Spirit was the power working through Jesus. You remember when Jesus was baptized, I don't have a slide for this, but when he came up out of the water, it says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And the voice of the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Father, Son, Holy Spirit, active at the same time, individual, different, but in unity. This is why as Christians, you have to know that there isn't just one God only who shows up three different ways. There are three gods who work together as one. I need you to understand that. And guess what? If you can't fully wrap your mind around it and make sense, that's why we have faith. Because some of this takes a lot of faith. So then Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away so that when I do, the Father will send the Holy Spirit. So we see now the Holy Spirit is the headliner of the church, starting in the book of Acts until Jesus comes back in Revelations. The Holy Spirit is now the headliner. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 33, it said, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. So once again, you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, one Godhead. The Holy Spirit is absolutely vital to the Christian life. I need you to understand that it might be that some of us aren't growing and maturing and experiencing the fullness of what Jesus died to give because we have not developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And part of my heart's desire is as we study the Holy Spirit more, that you would grow in friendship with Holy Spirit. You say, well, I've taken a class on the Holy Spirit. Great. You can be married for 50 years and still learn about your spouse. So I don't care how many classes on the Holy Spirit you think you've read or done or taken. There's still more to learn. Okay. I really encourage you strongly. Get the book, Journey With Us, if you can't join us in small groups. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, again, I'm going to read from the Amplified. This is what it said. Yes, ma'am. Mama said drink. All right. It says, therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the power and influence of the Spirit of God can say Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is my Lord except by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. So we learn from this scripture that you and I cannot even come to faith in Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit. And this is also key in discerning what spirit is at work. Because if the Spirit glorifies Jesus, it's the right Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. But if the Spirit tries to take away from Jesus, it's the wrong Spirit. Sometimes discernment is as simple as that. Does this activity in my life draw me closer to Jesus? Or does it take me away or distract me? Sometimes it's as simple as paying attention to the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to draw us to faith in Jesus Christ. I want to take you to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to pick a couple of verses here and there. This is what Paul says in verse 5. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. I like that. We who live by the Spirit. You and I come to faith in Jesus Christ by the Spirit, and we must live by the Spirit. You cannot succeed, be effective, be fruitful, grow and mature without Holy Spirit. We must learn to live by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps you and I understand the Bible. If you have a hard time understanding the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand. Ask the Holy Spirit to open up your understanding. Because the written word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So we know that the Word is Jesus Christ. But you know what is needed to pronounce a word? The breath. Holy Spirit. I know people who have entire sections of the Bible memorized, but it hasn't touched or transformed their life. Why? Because it's just information. It's just words on a paper. It's what we call logos, the written word. It's just information. But when it becomes revelation is when it becomes the rhema. We need not just the logos, but the rhema. We need the Holy Spirit to breathe on our scripture reading so that we can understand what we're reading and so that that word can be planted within our hearts and transform us from the inside out. That's why it's so important for you to understand that the Christian life is not about behavioral modification. I've said it, and I'll just keep saying it until we get it. Trying harder, trying to do better in our own strength and our own will never get you very far. But when the Holy Spirit breathes, see, there are things that the Holy Spirit has breathed on in Scripture for me that gives me the conviction and the courage to stand alone in obedience to the Lord. Why? Because I know what the Lord spoke to me. It wasn't just a written word on the page. It was the breath of God saying, this word is for you. If you need some behavioral modification, the answer is the Holy Spirit breathing on the Scripture. The answer is abiding in Him. Jesus said that the Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. And I heard a pastor say the Holy Spirit is the sap that flows between the vine and the branch. We need Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit every single day. Do you know that the more I grow in Christ, the more I need the Holy Spirit?
Right.
I remember I was a little kid, you know, back in the day when it was safe to walk around your neighborhoods. And a long time ago. And there was this older couple at the end of the street. And they were always nice and they'd invite us up. And they were unique and fun and interactive. And I remember I was probably around 7 or 8. And he said to me, you know what, Don? The more I know, the less I know. And I looked at him, I said, what? And he goes, the more I know, the less I know. Now, this little 8-year-old brain was like, pfft. And I remember walking home going, how can you know less if you know more? Because if you know more, then you know more. And then it's a lot less. How do you? And I wrestled with this comment for a long time till I got old enough to understand what he meant. That the more I've learned and the more I know, the less I actually know. And the more I need to learn. The more I walk with Jesus, the more I need the Holy Spirit. Every day, every hour, every minute, every failure, every triumph, we need the Holy Spirit. If you think you can just get through without Holy Spirit, then that's probably why you're tired, maybe grumpy and irritable. Can we just be honest? You want to change? Spend some time with the Holy Spirit. You want to grow, get in the Word, and let the Holy Spirit breathe on it. There's no shortcut in Christianity. This is not a 5G hotspot, microwave thing. You have to put in the time. But if you will spend the time, you guess what? Number one, He redeems your time. I can promise you, I've seen it. Where I'm like, God, I don't have time. He says, make time, make time. And I make time. And then somehow He redeems the time. A task that should have taken 2 days took one. I'm telling you, He is able to redeem whatever it is you pour out in worship unto Him. You need to change. You need breakthrough. You need freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so real change, real growth, real freedom is found in the power of the Holy Spirit. That means you and I need to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit leads us into truth. The Holy Spirit teaches us what we need to know. The Holy Spirit reminds us. In 1 John, it says, you don't need anyone to teach you, for you have the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is your helper, your paraclete, every minute, every day, ready to help you, ready to comfort you, ready to strengthen you, ready to give you the answers that you need. So verse 5 says, so we live by the Spirit. I need you to say that. Live by the Spirit. As a Christian, we cannot live without the Spirit. Our life is tied to Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And then if you skip down in verse 16, he says this, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Hey, this is behavioral modification right here. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. In other words, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do better, be better. You need the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to change, that's proof of the Holy Spirit working in your life. I need you to get that. Like if you feel you're stuck and you're circling the same mountain over and over again and it's frustrating and it's discouraging, guess what? The Holy Spirit is still working in you. Some of you need to just take that in. If you don't care, then that's the problem. Because anything that hurts God hurts the Holy Spirit. And if it hurts the Holy Spirit, it'll bother you. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if you're walking with the Holy Spirit, if you're being led by the Spirit, if you're living by the Spirit. See, the problem is when the Holy Spirit's working on us and he says, hey, you need to stop doing this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we justify it. Well, it's not a big deal. Everybody's doing it. If the Holy Spirit is telling you not to, obey. Who cares what anybody else thinks? When I was a young adult, you know, I started thinking about drinking and whether I should drink or not. And the Holy Spirit, I just felt a check and I prayed and the Holy Spirit said, not for you, you don't drink. So I never drank. And then when I went through that dark season of my soul during COVID, when you're all alone by yourself, hurting and struggling, it was in that moment I understood why God gave me such a strong conviction not to drink. Because you know how easy it would have been to drink my sorrows away? Do you know how easy it would have been to turn to alcohol instead of Jesus? Do you know how easy it would have been for me just to get drunk? And it was in those moments of raw pain with nothing to numb it that I learned how to go to Jesus, my helper. It may not make sense to anybody else. Let me tell you, who cares? And I'd like to use stronger language than that, but the Holy Spirit won't want me to. You have to live according to how the Holy Spirit directs your life. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. When you stand before God, well, my friend, so, and it doesn't matter. Did you obey me? Do you have breakthrough because did you obey me? Can I tell you, for some of you, your freedom is on the other side of obedience. Your breakthrough is on the other side of obedience. You have to let the Holy Spirit guide your life. You have to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide your life. Why? Because that's how you don't do the things you know you shouldn't do. Now, chapter 2 of the book talks about how Holy Spirit is represented by a dove. And I mentioned the verse where he came upon Jesus as a dove, and that's why you'll see in a lot of graphics a dove. Because a dove does not like conflict. A dove only likes to be where there's peace and rest. And so if you live your life in a way that hurts the heart of the Father, the dove will leave. He said, well, he never leaves me. He never does. He's right there. But your connection is affected. Come on, some of you who are married, if something isn't right, your connection is affected. Hello, friendships. If something isn't right, your friendship is, your that connection, it's affected. Until what? Somebody says, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to apologize. So guess who needs to say the sorry? Y'all should be raising your hand, but it's all right. It's all right. When I'm not sensing the Holy Spirit, I need to search my heart. Holy Spirit, have I offended you in some way? Have I spoken a word I shouldn't have said? Have I wounded a brother? We're going to get into that because the book of Ephesians talks very clearly about grieving the Holy Spirit. And I didn't think I had time to get into it, but hey, it's 11:20, so I might have time. So you know what? Let's do it. Ephesians. Yeah, let's do it. Galatians, Ephesians. You won't have a slide for it, but that's why I tell you to bring your Bible. Okay. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Talk about changing our lives and transformation. Here's what it says. We're going to pick up in, I better get my glasses. Verse 20. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, this is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now I'm going to pick up in verse 22. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. If you have it, read it with me, verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Wow. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Change comes from the inside out. Change comes from the Holy Spirit changing the way we think, dealing with attitudes. Bless you, Brother Kyle, for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit today. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our thoughts, our mind, our thinking, our beliefs. I'll never get free. That's a lie of the enemy. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. So don't buy the lie from the enemy that you can't change. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you the truth, to remind you the truth, to help you obey the truth. Thank you, Mom. Verse 24, so put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Remember, last week, God said, let us make man in our image. And here it says, we are to put on our new image, created to be like God. When you're saved, you are brought back to that original made in his image. Here we go, verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now look at verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of behavior, evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. The Holy Spirit is affected. What's the next thing? when we allow our anger to control us. Now remember, being angry is not a sin. But when anger leads us into sin, and we hold on to that, and we don't want to let go, that becomes a problem. And instead of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, what does it say? It gives a foothold to who? The devil. I don't know about you. I want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, not by the devil. That's why it's so important to learn how to manage your anger. You know who's really good at anger management? Holy Spirit. If you have an anger management need, the answer is Holy Spirit. Because one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Another fruit of the Holy Spirit is meekness, which is power, strength under control. So if you need help in this area, go to... Amen. Let's keep reading. What else hurts the Holy Spirit's stealing? Instead, we are to work hard and give generously. Look at verse 29. Foul and abusive language. The way we speak to each other, the way you speak to your wife, your husband, your kids, your coworkers, it matters to the Holy Spirit. You have to understand, in 1 Peter, it says, husbands, your prayers are affected by the way you treat your wife. This is why. Because if you speak in a harsh way to her, the Holy Spirit takes offense. Yeah, well, why would he do that? Do you like it when someone speaks to your kid in a way that is harsh? Come on, don't poke the bear. I must be feeling better. I had to get up for that. Sorry, camera. I'm going to sit down, I promise. I'm going to sit down. I can't stay standing that long. If we are like that with our own kids, how much more the Father in heaven? Like, he cares about how we treat each other. That's why the Holy Spirit is there to say, ooh, don't say that. Come on, I know some of you know what I'm talking about. You're in a moment and you have something you want to say, and the Holy Spirit's like, psst. And you're like, or sometimes you're like, I don't care. And you vomit all of that stuff all over the place. And then you wonder where the Holy Spirit is. Well, you've grieved him. Your connection with the Holy Spirit is affected. Then he goes on to say, instead, get rid of your bitterness, your rage, your anger, your harsh words, your slander, talking bad about people, gossiping, any type of evil behavior. Have you noticed that the way to grieve the Holy Spirit is in the way we treat each other? That's why the commandment is love God and love others. Because the way we treat each other impacts the Holy Spirit. You can talk smack about me, but you talk smack about someone I love. Come on, mamas. Come on, dads. Come on, friends. There's been times when I've had people get mad for me and I wasn't even mad. They're like, rah! And I'm like, yo, chill, it's okay. The reason why I'm taking time to talk about this is because your connection with the Holy Spirit may not be where it should be right now because of the way you've been treating other people. And today we're going to give you an opportunity to make it right. He says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving, live a life of love. Verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. I'm just going to stay in this, okay, guys? Ephesians 5, verse 3, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. So, you know, one of the solutions to your mouth is to develop a heart of gratitude. See, the Holy Spirit will remind us the things that we should be thankful for, even when life doesn't seem fair. And sometimes life just isn't fair. Anybody else can relate? Life just isn't fair. And sometimes we can roll with it, and sometimes it's not so easy. And yet that's when we need the Holy Spirit the most, to develop a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. Why? Because you and I are all saved by grace alone. It's all mercy. You're not any better than me. I'm not any better than you. You're not more spiritual than somebody else. We're all recipients of mercies that are new every morning. Thank you for mercy, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you remind us that every day is a new beginning, that we have mercies for every moment, every stumble, but we don't have to stay there. Can you just take a moment? And I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to tune into Holy Spirit. First of all, if there's been anything, you know your connection with the Holy Spirit isn't where it should be. Ask for forgiveness. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry if I've hurt you, if I've grieved you, if I've made you sad by the way that I've been living. And I want to repair my relationship with you, Holy Spirit. I ask that you would help me. I want to live by you. I want to walk with you. I want to be guided by you. I want to know you more and more. And then I just want you to take some moment where you are watching online. I just want you to take a moment to thank God right now. Thank him for whatever it is you can think of. Holy Spirit will bring things to mind. And begin to express your gratitude to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to write it down. Some of you need to put it in your phone. Some of you need to say it out loud. Some of you can say it inside your head. Well, tune in right now to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, wash our mouths out with holy soap. Help us to only speak that which is good and building up and encouraging. Not to be harsh, but to be tender-hearted and merciful as you are. That we would overflow with thanksgiving, because we have a lot to be thankful for. We have the freedom to be here this morning. We have the freedom to gather together without worry, like so many other Christians who are hiding in their houses and their basements and cellars and caves. We have the freedom to meet in the open. Thank you for the freedom we have. Thank you, Jesus, that we have what we need every day. It may not be a lot, but you give us what we need every single day. Thank you, God, that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we never walk alone, that you're always with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to keep reading in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read 4 again and keep going. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. This is not for you. I don't care if it's funny. Sometimes it's funny. Can we be honest? Sometimes we hear something, we crack up. We're like, that's funny. And then the Holy Spirit's like, not really. I've been there. The Holy Spirit's like, I'm not laughing. And I'm like, oh. These are out of place. I like how the New Living Translation says, these are not for you. Can you tell your neighbor? These are not for you. In other words, because you're a son of God, because you're a daughter of God, this is not how you behave. I don't know if you grew up in a family like mine, but we had a family culture. And you know what my parents would say? Oh no, beards don't act like that. I don't know if some of you have had family cultures like that. In fact, I had the pastor's kid, the PK, if you know that term. PK means pastor's kid. And I remember he told me, he's just a couple years older than me. He said, you know what, Don, I'd rather be a PK than a BK. I said, well, what's a BK? He said, a beard kid. And I was like, oh. The whole church knew. And maybe at times I wasn't grateful, but as an adult, I'm very grateful. because they trained me up in the way I should go. Which, by the way, next week is Mother's Day, and my mama will be preaching. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Her first time ever. She's so nervous, so pray for her. She's like, I don't want to embarrass you. I'm like, you're going to be fine, Mom. You're going to be fine. These are not for you. In other words, you're better than that. You're better than that. It's interesting how there are times we can watch our tongues and times we can't. You know, it's probably not as common as it was. I'm aging myself today. It's okay. But back in the day, there used to be a phone on your wall. Not cell phones. And man, my poor mom, I'm telling her, and then she's going to come preach, and you guys are going to be like, we know stories. But, you know, Mom, there was 5 kids. It could get a little hectic. And she was yelling at us, and it was deserved. The phone rings. Hello. And I remember, like, what just happened to my mom? Like, she was giving in to us, yelling at the top. And then all of a sudden, she's like, hello, like, nothing's wrong. And that just shows you that we do have self-control. That's the point of that story. We do have self-control. Don't let the devil tell you you can't help it. The Holy Spirit's like, you can help it, because that's not for you. That kind of humor, it's not for you. Those kinds of words, it's not for you. Those kinds of memes, social media, some of those posts are not for you to share. Block them. Don't share them. I think the Holy Spirit loves you a lot today, which is why we're having this conversation, because the Holy Spirit wants to repair your connection with Him. The Holy Spirit wants to be your helper, but He can't be your helper if you're not living in a way that is connected to Him. You can't live one way and think anytime I cry out to God, He's my genie in a bottle and He'll just do what I say. That's not correct theology. I have to remain connected to the Holy Spirit. And the scripture clearly says in Galatians and Ephesians that the way I speak, the way I treat others, impacts my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. Don't participate in the things people do. Come on, here you go, Pastor. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. I didn't know that was in there. Come on, Holy Spirit. He knew. Because this is not in my notes. You were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. How are we to live as? People of light. And this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. So again, how do we live in a way that honors God? By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading verse 10. So carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Do you know how you do that? Holy Spirit. Now there are things that are non-negotiable in Scripture. There are things in Scripture that are like yes, no, black, white. And then there are personal convictions where the Holy Spirit will say, it might be okay for them, but it's not okay for you. This is what it means to carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Is when you know, you're watching something and maybe it's not that bad, but the Holy Spirit is like, not for you. I've been there. You have to be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. I'm going to read it again. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you and I, if we just try to get in and do it in our own work, in our own strength, in our own way, in our own wisdom, we will fall short. But God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading verse 11. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. This is the power of confession. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who will shine light on an area of your life that he wants to bring correction to. Did you get that? It is the job of the Holy Spirit to shine his light into our hearts. So when the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden one day, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, Dawn, you see this right here? You got an attitude problem in this area? It's because he's showing the light. First time I went to the Philippines with June and Edelisa, they warned me at nighttime, be careful when you turn the light on. Now, some of you may not know, but I went into the kitchen and I turned the light on. And there were all kinds of things scurrying around the floor. Cockroaches everywhere. Rats. This little American girl was like, ah! And they were just busting up laughing when I came upstairs. I was like, you weren't kidding me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will shine the light and all kinds of things will start scurrying. But see, the devil loves to play in darkness, but the Holy Spirit lives in light. Oh. I felt that one too. Jesus. That's why we want the light of Christ to shine in our hearts. We need the light of Jesus to shine in our hearts. So when the Holy Spirit shines something, brings it to your attention, whoop, whoop, right here, listen and obey. Listen and obey. So be careful, verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like a fool, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship team, if you'll come forward. Be careful how you live. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, tenderness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. The Holy Spirit, his role is to work in you and me the character of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's role is to change us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit's role is to shine light where we need light. The Holy Spirit's role is to empower us to live by faith and obedience. That's why he said, make the most of every opportunity. Don't act thoughtlessly. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? With psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That's why we worship. Hello? That's why you shouldn't be late to the worship part of service. Man, she's picking on us today. Because I love you. See, we don't just sing songs to fill time, to do tradition. We sing songs because it's there that we are connecting with the Holy Spirit. It's there where we come in the beauty of the unity of the body of Christ, where we connect with the Holy Spirit. Psalms 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, for the oil flows down. You know what the oil is? The Holy Spirit. So when you and I come together in unity, singing one song together in different pitches, different talent levels, but one spirit, guess what happens? It builds our connection with the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes after a song, you're like, I needed that song. I needed this song, Never Walk Alone, this week. I needed this song in a real way. And we're going to sing it again. I'm going to ask you to dim the lights. For now, I just want you to stay seated. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making music in your heart, giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.